In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bravely I had fought and slain my enemies. Honor and glory are mine. But though I fight until the desert sands themselves were red with blood, I could not bring back the dead.
Aww. Overactor! Now he's king of Persia.
Oh, did he finally get the king? Did the queen die?
Not if you believe the rumors that the queen is still alive and lives in Reno. Anyway.
Ooh, she's good. She's doing the Reno retirement tour thing.
Yep, blue hair, pulling the slots.
She's doing the residency,
sure,
as they would.
Sure. Yeah. They should go to Missouri, Branson, Missouri next and retire there. It'll be great. Hey, everybody.
She's doing some Elvis impersonations.
I hope so as well. Hey, welcome to Play Retro, everybody. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I have no idea why the old guy in a robe plopped this huge timer thing on my bedroom floor, but sometimes some things tell me that a brave young cave dingus will escape prison and head this way. He'll save me, and we'll have lots of little baby princes of Persia, and maybe one day they'll make these games good again like this one, and I'm not holding my breath. That's just what the sand, but that's just makes the sands fall faster.
Falling faster. I think we played the same game because I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and it feels like a 1001 nights since I set out to save the Persian princess from that weirdo with a beardo who set up a giant sand timer in Scott's room, in his chamber, with his do or die marriage proposal. Now, the only thing standing between me and my potential future lover's hand is the ability to jump this chasm. With bloody spikes at the bottom, no problem. Man, I'm dead. Enjoy your Princess Jafar. I'm going home. Not now, Shadow Man. I'm going home.
That's right. That guy with the robe freaks me out. I don't like him.
Guy with the robe.
I don't like any guys in a robe, but I will say this. I like doing the show, and we like talking about things like Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia is a big deal for gamers. We'll get to all that coming up. Before we do, though, have you ever been so good at a video game? I'll give you an example. Right. Have you ever been so good at Unreal Tournament from the year 2000?
Right.
Nobody was able to withstand your blows in the game like that.
Right.
Do you relate to that at all?
I actually know this feeling very well because that was me.
Shut up, dude.
Oh, we got some good smack talk this week. Scott's talking about this revival that me and him have been messing around with the Unreal Tournament since. I guess they're not going to do anything with it proper, right?
It doesn't seem like it. If you still go over to Epic's page, the Epic Store,
yes,
there's a whole section on Unreal, and in that Unreal section, there's like a, I don't know,
coming soon,
and a build that maybe is sort of a beta build thing. I don't even know if you can download it still.
All
I did a while ago.
No, all of that
is that
that's
gone now?
It's on the website.
They're swimming in Fortnite money, and they don't need it anymore. And I understand that, but I would love if they would just take some of your Fortnite money and invest it in the thing that got you where you are today. That is Unreal, the OG, especially the Unreal Tournament stuff. Make an Unreal Tournament 2023 or whatever you want to call it and make it real good. Game as a service if you want. That's fine. Figure out a way to make it pay for itself the way you do Fortnite. I don't care how you do it. Bring Unreal back. All right?
And
it's not just an engine. It's a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more than just an engine. It's a game. It's a tournament. Yeah. And a couple of years ago, they were really touting they were going to do this with Unreal Tournament is coming back. Yeah, baby. And then it just, they just dropped it. And not too long after that, or during all that process, there was a team, a group of people out there that were building their own network of Unreal Tournament servers.
Yep.
So you can play, if you have Unreal Tournament, the Game of the Year edition,
which I do,
which you do.
Yeah.
You can then install that and install this latest patch, and you can play with other people around the world. And I loved it so much, I decided to set up a server. So we do have a server. If you're listening and you have Unreal Tournament, the Game of the Year edition, can't buy it anywhere, by the way. Epic pulled it.
Yeah.
From Steam. Good old
games. From everything. You just can't straight up get it at all.
No, you can't buy it.
Quick note, if you want, you can go get it on archive.org, but we didn't tell you that.
Yes.
All right.
But we didn't tell you that. If you already purchased it in the past from Good Old Games or from Steam, you can still install it.
Right.
That's how I installed it, was from my Steam version. And then you go to retrogib.com. That's retrogib.com. Gib, you remember those, right?
Yeah, the some Gibbs, called them the Gibbs. Gibbs. We called them Gibbs. I still don't Gibbs. Know what I'm supposed to call them, but we called them Gibbs.
Right.
What'd you call them? I know it's short for giblets, right? It's giblets is the idea.
Right.
But
right.
I don't think it was never supposed to be Gib, but I always said Gib. So.
Always said Gib. I saw Gib before I knew what it stood for, and therefore it'll always be Gib in my head.
Yeah.
But all the server information is over there, so it'll even give you some tips on how to get the game if you don't already have the game, how to install a game, how to install the patch, and then join the server.
That's right. We would
love for you to hop on. The server is running 24/7. It is running. There's a bot always on there running around causing havoc.
Of course.
So you won't be alone. You'll get to fight some of those great Unreal Tournament bots. I was more of a Quake guy.
Yeah, their bots sucked, though. Quake 3 bots were terrible.
The bots were trash.
Trash.
Compared to the Unreal Tournament bots.
The Unreal bots can actually play a game of Capture the Flag with you, and if you put them high enough, they can win. Like, it's good.
Yes.
They're actually
it's good.
A challenge. Yeah.
And they can learn and get tougher. You can set all that stuff in the server.
Yeah.
By the way, right now, if you join, I'm really out of practice with managing servers like this. And so right now, when you start, you'll always start the same map. And then as you play, I think it's every 30 minutes it rotates, or not 30 minutes, it's 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes it'll rotate. I'm working on a map voting system to get that installed. So,
That's cool.
Anybody out there is an Unreal Tournament server head and they're like, Brian, I'll volunteer to give you a hand.
Do you have facing worlds in that rotation or no? Do you know the map?
It should be in there. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's in there.
Because I want to, the goal here isn't just that we're going to talk about Unreal Tournament on an upcoming show and that we're just sort of sparked to play a bit now. For me, this is a major resurgence because I slept and drank that game for years.
Right.
Me too. In fact, you could actually show my content creator trajectory started with Unreal, of all things, because Unreal Tournament is what got me in touch with these guys that were making a mod for that game called Infiltration. And I got so heavily involved with those guys, I started a MP3, wasn't called a podcast then, but an MP3 radio show that I put up on a website every week. And that's kind of where that started. Like the cartoon side was separate, but this whole thing kind of sprung out of that. And I can kind of trace it all the way back there. So I have really a lot of fond feelings for it. And in particular, Facing Worlds is the greatest map in the history of Capture the Flag maps of all time. And we are going to play that game, you and I.
And we're gonna do it.
We're going to maybe even put low gravity and Instagib on.
There's actually some really cool mods that I've seen. Instagib is amazing.
And that's built right gravity, in. That's just in there, right? Like, because it has the mutator system. You can just go in there and tweak them.
Yeah, if you got the mutator system. I don't have any of this stuff turned on right now. We've got very vanilla Unreal Tournament running on the server right now. We're going to make it so that we can do all. We have access to all that. We can build it. We can make it better. But I want to try one mod that I've seen that looks really like a lot of fun. I can't remember what it was called, or mutator, whatever you want to describe it. See what a server guy I am? Anyway, it's based on your performance in the game, your character may start getting fatter or skinnier.
Oh, I used to play that. What's that called?
I don't know.
And the fatter you got, the more
you moved.
Well, not just the slower you moved. You may have actually moved the same speed. It's just that you are a bigger hitbox. So if people are trying to snipe you, much easier to hit you. If you were winning and skinny, you were harder to hit because the hitbox shrunk. So it's not like you just had you know, textures and mesh going larger, but still the same hitbox, you actually became a larger target.
Right.
It's awesome. That's a great mode. I played all that shit back in the day.
I love that.
Yeah. All of it. I never got tired of it. 2003 came out, played the living poop out of that. Their 04 edition of that game maybe is the peak of the series. It was so good. Had all those, they added vehicles and like large maps and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The Unreal series deserves better than what Epic is giving it right now. They owe their entire existence to that game and its success. And yet they're just over there scrubbing their pits with Fortnite money, just going, money, money. Make that game, all right? Or let the community have the code and make it themselves. Do something.
Well, they've kind of been pretty cool about it. So old Unreal on GitHub is the patch that does all kinds of different things. But the primary thing is allowing us to have, play online.
Right.
And so they've given pretty good leniency towards just do whatever you want, community. Do it.
Go for it.
So I'm pretty excited.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Thanks for nothing, Tim Sweeney. Except for the original game, I guess. Anyway, we'll get to all that in a minute, but later. We'll talk more about what we're going to do next week because it will be Unreal Tournament related. But for today, and we'll also make sure it's the server info is available to everybody on our Discord and other places. So you guys can come play with us.
RetroGib.com.
Yep. RetroGib. G-I-B. Not Jib.
Mm-hmm.
Gib.
Nope. Gib.com. G-I-B.
Just like GIF and GIF. All right. Where are we now? Oh, I know where we are.
Shall we play a game?
Not only shall we, it's more like will we, and we will.
Oh.
And we did.
Have we?
We played a lot. It's Prince of Persia time, everybody. You may be familiar with the classic Prince of Persia series started in 1989, a rotoscoped animated thing that was a blend of platforming and puzzle-solving gameplay, but in a lot of ways would be the progenitor of not just games like it, but games that would take kind of their own path, things like Metroid, things like Castlevania. They kind of were the later versions of what this thing was trying to do. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 2, and we're going to talk about the weird Prince of Persia 3D thing that happened in 99. Now, we all know that maybe the greatest Prince of Persia game of all time is the PS2 era Prince of Persia Sands of Time. An amazing game. All right. No question about it. Nobody questions it. It's incredible. I think we're still waiting for a remake from Ubisoft, but it is an amazing game. Or maybe that happened already. I can't remember what happened with that.
Well, we have the most recent one that just came out, The Lost Crown.
Yeah, right? That's the new side-scrolling business. And it kind of takes it back to its roots, which is another reason we wanted to do this. But anyway, we're going to talk about all of that. Let's start with Prince of Persia One. And here's what that would have sounded like when you booted it up. Oh my gosh, the memories. I can feel it. So, depending on the computer you played it on, you may not have had this level of audio fidelity. Some versions of this, which I did find, I didn't capture them all. Although for Prince of Persia 2, I did, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But some of these, you know, if your machine didn't have a good sound card, you just got a lot of beeps and boops. That was just the way it is.
And this was a time that you could have a machine with the beeps and the boops. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible.
Pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure this was let's see, what was this? 89, right?
Right.
Oh, well before I had one. In fact, I don't think I actually played Prince of Persia until I had a proper computer, and that was probably 92 or 3. Had a 386 that would run it. So, yeah.
I never played Prince of Persia. I had friends who played Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. I've never played the first one. Let me correct myself there. I played some Prince of Persia games before. I never played the first 3. I saw people playing it. I had friends who played it, and I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. Doesn't like Mario though. So whatever. I thought that this, if you had asked me before I started this week, where did this come out?
Yeah.
I would have said, oh, this is a PC game.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
No, it started on the Apple II. As a matter of fact, there's a great story with Jordan Mechner, the creator of Prince of Persia. We've talked about him before. Karateka. Mm-hmm. I always call it Karateka. He calls it Karateka.
I still can't believe it's called Karateka. And he did say it, so I'm taking his word for it. But I cannot believe that. How long has it been? 40 plus years? I've been calling that game Karateka.
Me too.
Because it's karate. Karateka. Karate.
Same. But he had a karate instructor, so maybe he knows better than me. I can't say. But there's some great first person. Just there's some great interviews with him on YouTube. Very recent stuff where he goes back. He kept a journal during his entire game development time. And so he's not only does he have a great memory, he's also has a journal to back it up. Mm-hmm. So the claims he makes seem very accurate, but I would have never guessed that this started on the Apple II, even though Karateka was the place that I remember playing Apple II. I should have known. But it was he said, and I this doesn't make any sense to me. Did I miss something? He said, Jordan Mechner, 1989, he said when, well, earlier, probably like 1987 when he started development, he said that the Apple II was the number one gaming platform at the time. And I was like, what?
Oh, it was big then. What? Yeah, it was huge.
I'm like,
I wouldn't know. I don't, maybe in this, maybe it was different in different territories, but in the States, it was, I could see that.
I didn't know. I knew it was, I knew it was on par with the other systems I was playing, but I didn't think it was the number one. But maybe he's, maybe his journal's wrong. I don't know. Maybe.
Could be wrong.
But I wanted to find out.
Sure. Why
but
not?
The DOS version, the one you played, the entry you played,
yeah,
that was the DOS version.
Yeah.
And man, it sounds good. The Apple II,
beep, boop, beep, yeah, okay. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep. I'll give you an example. So if you hear, let me play this at the top here. So let me pull this back here. Okay, this music right here.
Yeah.
Now, imagine you hearing that on a PC that didn't have a sound card, or we weren't there yet with that kind of sound synthesis. So this is what you would have heard if you had not a good sound card. Terrible, dude. It's freaking terrible.
So we've talked a little bit about this in the past. During the late 90s, the early 90s, all the way through the 90s for the most part, we were all over the place with audio. We were getting ready to start doing, you know, CD stuff, and just it was all over the place. My favorite experience of this week was playing it. I forget which system it was, but it used the Roland MT32. MIDI player. It was great.
Yeah, I have it some of that great. For two. When we get around to talking about Prince of Persia 2, I have a version of that with the audio that is from that. It is awesome. Sounded so good back then.
Here's a couple of places that you might have played Prince of Persia. If you play Prince of Persia, which you probably have, you might not have played it where we did, even though the DOS version was pretty big. The Apple II version, yeah. Not big at all.
No.
We had it on the Amiga, the Atari ST, the Amstrad, the Sam Coupe, which I found very interesting. It was kind of the Sam Coupe is kind of what was a competitor to exactly? Maybe the Amiga. But anyway, no, it was the Zed. That's what it was. It was a competitor to. Anyway,
never even heard of the Sam Coupe until today. That's news.
I never heard of the Sam Coupe until this past week. I'm sitting here going, oh yeah, the Sam Coupe, Scott.
Is anybody out there sitting on a couple of Sam Coupes they want to ship to us?
Sam Coupes.
Yeah. Get us our Sam Coupe, son.
The Spectrum, TurboGrafx 16, the FM Towns. We've talked about that before. The Master System, NES, Sega CD. If you had a computer or some type of equipment, it was coming to a place near you.
Yeah, you were getting it. You just didn't, either you didn't know it or you did know it because you played it. And if you didn't, that's fine. But I thought that this was the bee's knees when it came out. I'd never played anything quite like it. It was mysterious and dark and cool. Most of the game takes place sort of underground in these, you know, these dungeons, these prisons space. And there's something about that I really like. It's one of the reasons I never really got around to playing 2, because 2 looked like it was like, well, now we're outside and the sun's out. And I'm like, that's not fun.
Right.
I want to be in this dark nightmare is where I want to be. And you die a lot, like a whole lot. Don't let this video I'm playing right now of an expert runner fool you. If you've not played before, you will fall into some spikes and croak. You will fall off cliffs and die. You will land on what looks like stable ground and find out it's just a loose rock, and then you'll fall through. You'll get chopped by these metal things. Like that's just the way of it. So
you're gonna jump and you're gonna hit panels that are gonna fall on your head. You're going to die. That's really what the game's about. The game is about dying.
Yep.
And it's really about fine control. So we're back again. Jordan Mechner used rotoscoping in the first game, the Karateka that he made, and he used rotoscoping here as well. And so the character is, the way he's animated is so gorgeous and also hilarious sometimes. And it's a really different, it's a really different thing than other platformers that you're playing. Because you know, you're not running and jumping and woohoo and you know, and having the game kind of cheat for you a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've got to time this stuff. This is a game of run to a spot, stop, align, jump. And it's really difficult in some of the earlier versions because like on the Apple II, you're probably playing with the keyboard. And mm-hmm. on DOS too, you're playing with the keyboard.
Oh,
and
hell yeah. Yeah.
So you've got your arrow keys that you're managing or whatever you map to it. And so you're running left or right. And then you got to jump. Well, you got to do that by clicking up while holding down the movement.
Mm-hmm.
It gets tough. And
yeah.
then if you want to climb down, whoo, you got to come to a stop and you got to crawl a little bit. You got to slow down.
It's no, a lot of control. The game's not screwing around. And like Brian said, this is an important note on that. Keyboard and mouse, or not even mouse, just keyboard controls, you were limited to, you know, arrow keys and a space bar.
Mm-hmm.
If even that, I may have jumped with something else. I don't even remember.
You probably did the arrow up. The up arrow was the common way to do it. So
yeah, now that you say that, I think that's all you had. You just had arrow keys.
Yeah.
And we were okay with it because it's the best we had. But this wasn't like some, you know, super locked in D-pad with all the fidelity we expect out of modern controllers or even keyboard and mouse systems today. This was a hard game from top to bottom. It was methodic, like you described, slow to by design. It wasn't Mario, it wasn't Sonic, it wasn't that. It was something where you were like, I got to stop here. I got to think before I do this. Okay, if I loosen up that rock, it's going to drop. How far of a drop is it? Oh, it's not too bad. I won't die. And maybe I'm supposed to go down here, so I'll go down here. Oh, I guess I'm not. There's just a bad guy down here. Well, let's fight him. And the sword play, very Karateka-like.
Yes, and Pirates-like. Do you ever play Pirates? Back on the Apple?
No, I never did play that.
Oh, my. So the sword, the swashbuckling is very similar to that, the Pirates and Karateka. You're only fighting one enemy at a time in the first one, which is good because it takes everything you got to control and be intentional with your character.
No, it's the OG. It's the OG. The Souls-like, this game in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yes, it is very Souls-like. Yeah, because you got to think about the animation, too. So he spent a lot of time, Jordan Mechner spent a lot of time on that rotoscoping and animation, and you better believe it's going to finish that animation cycle before it receives your next input.
Yep, yep. You're not wrong. And it was kind of violent for its time.
Super violent.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know when this would have been, but I remember my mom being shocked by it.
Yeah, you've got people falling quite frequently from ledges onto spikes that are intentionally trying to kill you because they're usually hidden until you start to walk near it, mm-hmm. and then it'll engage. And you've got a lot of gates you have to go through. Mm-hmm. The reason why we're seeing a lot of this, by the way, I didn't know this until I watched the interview. I don't want to give too much away about the interview because it's an amazing interview on YouTube. Look for Jordan Mechner, Prince of Persia. It's great stuff. He talks about his inspiration being the first 10 minutes of the Indiana Jones movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. And so that running, jumping chasms, avoiding spikes, like spikes coming out of the wall, you know, and also opening gates and going through gated areas. Mm-hmm. That was all just from baked in from the beginning. That was the game he wanted to make, except he didn't want to make the character be violent, but eventually he realized he had to.
He realized he had to make it fun
because
run through the game. I can't even imagine what this game would be like that. That would be weird.
If all you're doing is just jumping and trying to get to Jaffa, the vizier.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah. He's an a-hole. Jerk. I don't like that guy. He can. You know what he's good at though? He can conjure a big time sand bottle thing out of nothing. He's good at that. I'll give
him
credit.
That thing is... I laughed out loud when he's in the princess's boudoir, her chamber, and you know he's taken over. So he throws down this giant sand clock.
Yeah,
and I mean it was huge. And she has like, okay, so you got, does she have like an hour to make the decision? Because I think that's how long. No, it's got to be more than that because each each stage, I guess you would call it. So you got to complete an entire area in 60 minutes. We talked about this last week, or was it week four? We don't care much for those timers. This one's 60 minutes, and you're going to need every bit of it because you're going to die 100 million times. You're going to have to start back over.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if I came away from my brief time with it this week, it would be this, that the timer bugged me and I hated it. I really wish there wasn't one. I know you can, you know, there's hacked ROMs, there's ways to play this so there is no timer, but
right,
it's a crucial part of the game. And even like Sands of Time later would use, like, time is a thing in thematically throughout the series. Sometimes it's used as actual time travel. Sometimes it's used as just hurry your ass up and get in here and save the princess. It's the latter I don't like. I don't like being timed. Yeah. I hate it.
I liked the time manipulation in Sands. I did not care for it here. It would remind you every 5 minutes, because you're so focused. You're so laser focused on making each of those jumps and going, okay, what have I learned? Mm-hmm. Okay, I've learned that I've got to launch my foot at this point. Or that I can walk up to the edge and I can clear this chasm, mm-hmm. You know, or I can go slow here and the spikes that they pop up, they won't kill me.
Yeah.
You're trying to get all of that under control and you finally start to get a rhythm, and then the little clock cup pops up and goes, 45 minutes left.
Yeah. What are you doing now?
Like, no, I don't want to do it. It's too much pressure, man.
I don't want any game to do that. And I know this is a me and you as well, I guess, to a degree, but I know it's a problem with me with every, it's not just Prince of Persia. It's a thousand games that have a time mechanic.
Right.
I hate them. It's not that I hate this game. I obviously respect it for what it is and everything, but I don't like being on a clock ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Like, give me a minute. Let me breathe. Enough. You know?
Yeah. That's when you've talked about it before. I'm the same way. I think maybe because of the trauma that was the arcade, it always felt like you were on a clock. Like, mm-hmm. they took trauma. Your quarter,
yeah.
And we're gonna gift you a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, gift. Yeah, hurry up and get around. Make sure you get to the checkpoints quick, or else it's another 20 seconds you're gonna have to pay for.
If I'm at home, I'm like, I paid for this thing, man. I hope I did. I might have got the demo. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm all about
and
that.
Any there's of 13... your modes, any of your modes in modern games, even where they're like, hey, there's a little fight and training ground over here where you can earn some extra XP and a couple of skill points if you can beat the clock. And I'm like, no, I'm just gonna keep walking. Yeah, F you. You know?
Right.
I'm not.
I don't remember how many platforms. So, you know, they're rushing you along so you can get through this, and you're trying to combat, you're trying to, you know, make jumps, you're trying to solve puzzles. I was trying to think of how many other games that I was trying to solve environmental puzzles, because you got to step on a lot of platforms to that will open gates, and then you got to be careful because there'll be a platform right after that you'll step on and it'll close the gate, and you're jump over here. And you got to go back. There's 13 levels of that crap. And I don't know if you did this part or not, because if you played a lot of the cracked versions of Prince of Persia, you wouldn't have to face it. But there is a copy protection in this thing. So we've got,
really?
Yeah, like, I think in level two, it starts. So level one lets you play it. It's like, there's your free demo.
Yeah.
But if you're playing past level one, you get to level two, there's a bunch of potions and with different letters on them. And then it'll say, refer to the manual, page four, sentence four, word two. And you have to go figure out which one it starts with. And some are poison. And if you get the right one, it opens the door so you can go to the next one. So you can
That's some sneaky analog security. I like it.
That's some sneaky stuff, sis.
Yeah. I like it a lot, actually. You don't see that very often. I've seen other games that do similar things, but making you look at a manual that, you know, back then you can't just fire up the internet and see it.
Like, no.
You had to have the physical thing. I think that's great.
You had to do it. Now, I did not make it far enough in Prince of Persia. God bless me. I did not make it far enough to Shadow Man. Shadow Man comes along.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not familiar with that character.
Yeah.
He's the one that pisses you off, because he is he's you, but with some pixel shifting so that you look like a shadow. And he comes along and screws you over.
They did this in the first, what did we cover? Oh, the first Lara Croft game had a similar thing where you had to fight your shadow or something.
You had to fight your shadow. Yeah. It become like a very inspirational thing. But yeah, he'll grab your potion for you sometimes, or sometimes he'll close a gate after you open it. By the time you get to the end, you're ready to kill him.
Yeah, he sucks.
From what I hear.
He's a bastard.
I'm like, yeah, That makes sense.
I remember him from back in the day, and also I've seen a bit of him on the video today, but I don't remember a lot about what it took to beat him. Do you have to beat him? Like fight him?
Oh yeah, you got to fight him. Well, you don't fight him. He's the what do they call it when there's the run ahead guy? So he's like the bad guy in Castlevania. It's like you get a chance to kind of face him, but then he just runs off, and then you have to keep chasing him at the end of each level. And he's all like, "There's a trope for that."
Yeah, the princess is in another castle. It's the same idea. Yeah.
It's like you just keep just, oh, you got away.
Yeah, darn you! I guess I'll have to go to the next dungeon and try again.
Yeah, 13 levels of that shit.
Yeah.
And unless you're on the SNES version, there's two that I really played. I played the Apple II because I wanted to see the origin. It's a very nice experience on the Apple II, believe it or not.
Except for this.
It's basic.
Whoops, this.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
It's basic, but it's fine. It's very solid gameplay all the way through. The DOS version to me was better. The Amiga version was fantastic. And then you get to the SNES version. Now, this is a time when Nintendo was kind of going, we'll take a port, please. However, we'll want to do our own thing, thank you, because we want to stand out from our competitors. And they did just that. And it actually ended up being one of the better ports. It's a little bit higher fidelity.
I like the look of it. It's cool. Yeah,
sound is really good.
They gave him his corny little pointy shoes, though, which is a little bit annoying.
Yeah. It was a little more realistic, and it's kind of more stylized, if that's possible. I don't know how you would say that, but how about it's a different style? It's a different stylization.
It is. This one's okay. Yeah, I played a tiny bit of this. I wasn't sure. I thought this was a Genesis port, but I think it was SNES that I played.
Right. There's a Genesis port. Is that the one that never made it? I think it was two that never made it. But it's still got all the same vibes, all the same beats, same type of movement, same type of speed, kind of slow and plodding. But you get 20 levels here. So I think it's got the original 13, but you have additional 7 levels. So that's a lot of game for, you know, justification.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this your $50 Prince of Persia game.
Yeah. The other thing the game features a lot of, which I, you know, other games would mimic this or just do this, but a lot of backtracking. More than I'm comfortable with in a modern game. Now, I don't mind it in an old thing because I get it. Where you had limits then, everything was magic. We didn't care. But these days, I'm spoiled, and you shouldn't make me backtrack as much as this game.
You should make me backtrack. Yeah, the first thing you do when you play Prince of Persia, one of the first things you're going to notice is like, shit, I got to go back the same way I came and make all those jumps. Because the first thing you're trying to do is get to the sword. Mm-hmm. You drop, they drop you in. And you're running around exploring, and you finally come across a sword. Or if you did like I did, I accidentally went the wrong way, because it's kind of like Metroid, where you start out, and if you go the wrong direction, there's the bad guy. Oh no!
Yeah,
I'm not ready. I'm not ready because he will kill you fast.
Yep, you'll be dead. You'll be starting over before you know it, and you'll have to hear that shitty freaking intro music. You hear this again? Anyway.
I got the sword the first time, I tried so hard to try every alternate path that I could think that would get me back without having to go across the top. I did not want to go across the top and take the chance of those jumps, because if you fall and die, you got 3 bottles of health. And if you fall far enough, you're definitely going to die insta death. And if not, you may hurt yourself bad enough 3 times just to start over again. And oh my God.
So I was using emulation with this. And so I was able to do save points whenever I wanted. But
that's nice.
In the original game, I'm pretty sure you just started over. Right?
Oh, there's no saving. I think there's some features that come along with the later ports. And this is something that will kind of be explored in the first one and the second one when we look at the ports. They allow you to set the speed and maybe even do some saving. I think the SNES version allowed you to have 3 speed, or no, those maybe 5 speeds that you could choose from for your exploration, walking, and the fighting. So if you felt like it was just too slow, which some people I'm sure did, especially by 94 or so, when I think the SNES port came out, that you could adjust that. So there was definitely some things that they were trying to make it more in line with other games. I'm sure a lot of people was like, this is just too hard. This is just too hard, too plodding, too slow.
Yeah. I guarantee there were people like that. I didn't feel that way at the time, but other games made me feel that way later. And I was like,
If you've ever played Karateka, you think this is a speed. You think this is fast.
Still sounds like such a bullshit word when I hear it. It still just
cannot. It really does. It really. But Karateka, boy, you go back and play that because you think, oh, yeah, they were kind of similar in speed. No, that is some slow ass game in
they
there.
They should call it Take Your Time, Keika.
Time Akeka.
Time Akeka.
You'll get there eventually, Kateka.
Kateka. Yeah, it's a long slog.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Now let's dive into 2. Now 2 had a lot on its shoulders. 2 is like, hey, we got to follow this up. This has to be good.
Yeah.
And
we've made a lot of money. We want to make more.
We want to make more money. So here's what 2 sounded like. Listen to that.
The shadow in the flame. Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. In ancient Persia, there lived a sultan who had an only daughter, whose beauty was like moonrise in a clear heaven. Now it happened that the sultan left his kingdom to fight in a foreign land.
There's more to the story, I think. Here comes more. Yeah.
In his absence, the princess fell in love with a young traveler who climbed the palace wall to see her.
Yeah, that's your flimsy love story right there.
Yeah, we're not going to go too far away from the original, right?
No, not really. And also, just graphically, while there are improvements, the game's very similar. I don't know why this guy's playing it way he's playing it.
It's just a little frog hop. You could crouch. You could kind of crouch in this game. Maybe he's found a way that. It works. Maybe there's kind of like a little cheat in how the game mechanics work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's pretty funny, though.
This is a super fun one to watch speedruns on. Both these games, 1 and 2, because the games are so inherently slow that it seems ridiculous how people have overcome that and can do it so quickly. I don't think I have the patience. Well, if I had a hat on, I do have a hat on. I would take this hat off to all speedrunners. I respect your work. You guys are amazing. I can't do this shit. I couldn't do it.
It's too much. It really, you know, because you have to play something over and over. I mean, I played this over a lot, but the amount of dedication it takes to be a speedrunner, to learn every little shortcut. I know they share stuff as well with other people, but it's a lot of learning. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of learning. No, thank you. The game's hard enough without it. Now, is this the PC version?
This is the PC DOS now? Version. It's also in a slightly wider format, so I think this may be modded. But generally speaking, here the graphics are from that DOS version of 2. And he has to fight his Medusa head. That's a good time.
Oh, that floating Medusa head is so cool. But the game, you're right, is pretty much the same as the first one. You're still going through caverns and you're still pretty much moving at the same speed. However, the fighting does get a little bit faster and a little bit weirder. You're fighting more than one person at a time sometimes. Well, they come in waves. How about that?
Yeah.
And but you're still pretty much trying to beat the clock. You're trying to navigate all through, explore, backtrack where you have to.
And you got a lot of battling going on here. Listen to this guy falling, the fall screams. Check this out.
The fall screams are pretty good. Jordan Mechner was slightly involved, but not as much. with this one. He pretty much had complete control with, you know, when he was at doing this for Broderbund the first time. And this time around, he was more like a consultant. It was to the Sultan. It's a pretty good try to keep in line with what the original was and not stray too far and give us just more of what we loved.
Well, what happened in this game in two if you ran out of the timer? Do you know what happens?
I think you just die, right? Run out of the timer. Come to think, what have I run out of the timer? I can't even remember if I ever ran out of the timer because
I did back in the day. I didn't play long enough this time to
right.
Know. So I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question.
One or two, I guess, for that matter. I don't know what happens to you. It's like you get a kill screen or something stupid.
I can't remember. I was going to say, who knows? Everybody knows. I don't know.
Everyone knows but me.
The internet knows.
Yeah, the internet knows. We could probably look that up. Right. I'm sure it's very disappointing and just sends you back to the start. So F that.
I'm sure you'll just have to go back to the start, start from all the way from the beginning, and the clock restarts, and is Jafar back? I think so. By the way, something interesting happened on the way to Prince of Persia 2.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Prince of Persia 1 released before Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin.
Yeah.
You'll notice their source material is pretty much the same, so you're going to see a lot of things that look similar.
Yeah.
And I'd seen where some people were like, oh, Aladdin stole from Prince of Persia. And that's the other people say, Prince of Persia stole from Aladdin. And I'm like, well, people stealing from each other all the time. That's what you do. You know,
They both stole from the Alibaba 40 Thieves business.
It was the 1001. So, you know, it's all been stolen. Not to mention Mechner would use rotoscoping, which was perfected, if not invented by Disney. Many, you know, decades before. So,
right.
But at this point in time in 93, we definitely, even if you hadn't played Prince of Persia 1, you definitely had probably were aware of Disney's Aladdin, and Prince of Persia 2 may have seemed like a little bit of a, you know, oh, we're doing this, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. And also it didn't help that they had two hit games on 16-bit systems that year. Actual Aladdin. So once again, Disney puts off this impression that they invented things they didn't. They borrowed some things and then made very popular output based on those things, but they don't own this shit. It's theirs. But
they were just, in my opinion, some people say, try to look at the timelines and they go, well, you know, Prince of Persia was released before Aladdin. I'm like, well, yeah, but animation at that time was taking about 4 years for a project to be completed. And then planning time was even longer than that. And I was like, and then video game development, we already heard Mechner say, you know, how long it took him from the time he, you know, incepted the idea to the time he was actually able to do it was at the end of the Apple II era. Computer. So, I mean,
well, it happens now too. Like I remember in 2011 when I was at BlizzCon and Blizzard announced the Mists of Pandaria expansion, and everybody was like, it's like they're just doing that Jack Black Panda thing, Kung Fu Panda. Right. That's all this is. This is them playing up on that. And I'm like, do you guys realize how long the Pandarans have been in the Warcraft universe? A lot longer than this.
Right.
And B, they started that expansion years before that movie came out, which is, I think, 2010.
Yeah.
People just like a fight. That's all.
You know, it's like when you get a new car or a new car to you. It's like, oh, now I realize everybody drives this particular car.
Yeah.
Because you really weren't watching for it, and now you are. And sometimes ideas just flow. We all are receiving a lot of the same information, and we get inspired by certain things. Who knows? Maybe that type of music was hitting really big at the time, and it was like, oh, this was a natural progression. I don't fault anybody except for Power World. I don't fault anybody for stealing anything.
even that is
ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, tonight on Core, that's going to be almost our entire subject. That thing is insane.
It's going to be fun. I love it. But
it'll be fun.
So the kudos that I heaped upon Nintendo for their pretty good Prince of Persia 1 game port. I gotta take it all back for Prince of Persia 2, The Shadow and the Flame. There is no speed control and it runs fast the whole time. As a matter of fact, I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what was wrong with my emulator because I was like, something ain't right. Why is this thing running at this speed? And I verified it's crazy fast. I don't know who decided it's like, no, this is too slow makes our system look like it's slow. we need to speed it up, and it ruins everything. It just it destroys the fun of being intentional. But I do like the guys wearing the eagle heads. Character design stuff, and this is pretty good.
Oh no, it's awesome. Yeah, the little eagle people. Someone in the chat was bringing that up too. Birdman's in there, for hell's sake.
Yeah. The lot of really cool characters this time around.
Yeah.
More memory, more places to add stuff.
Someone in the chat says that the first example of rotoscoping was Clash of the Titans with the owl and the mechanical owl. That wasn't rotoscoped. That was just a...
No, I think you're taking a stop motion animation.
Yeah, stop motion and rotoscoping, totally different thing. Yeah.
Right.
Not related.
Rotoscoping is where you film something. Simply put, you film something and then you take those frames and you essentially draw over top of them.
Yeah, it's like tracing for animation is the idea.
Right.
So if you're running, you got a guy,
human movement.
You got a guy doing a run and jump, and then you film that with film, like a live action film, and then later you go in and you draw on top of it. And whether it's a game or a cartoon, that's kind of what you do. If you're talking what we do now as an example of that would be motion capture technology, which is not quite the same, but really it's just like super high end rotoscoping at the end of the day, except you're not just rotoscoping somebody's run animation. You're rotoscoping their eye movements and their facial expressions and their hands and their fingers. And you're still sort of just copying real movement, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Here's where things go a little awry. We waited a few years. 1999 comes around. This happens.
Excuse me, Sultan. The princess was expecting me.
And I expect you to remain seated.
Goodness. All right. This is Prince of Persia 3D.
If you're going to make a third in a series, you can't miss out on using the 3D, right?
It's either that or you put a 3 in your title where there's an E, you know? So it's Prithrija or Fathrier or any of these games that put a 3 in the put the 3 where the E is supposed to go. It drives me crazy. This is a N64 ass looking piece of shit.
Except it's on the Dreamcast.
It's on the Dreamcast, but it's ugly and it looks like the most blurry, awful N64 textures you've ever seen.
Early 3D, right?
It's awkward. It's stilted. It is not a good example of where you want to see this series go. This is a bad video game. I played it for about 15 minutes and said, I'll never go back to this ever. There is no reason to ever play this again. It's just bad.
So where Mechner was taking, was making great use of the technology, this was not making great use of the technology. The whole, you know, what was going on is Prince of Persia had kind of got out of hand, and they were, as far as the development. So it went to Red Orb Entertainment, Learning Company. There was a lot of changing of hands of this game, and Mechner was not involved hardly at all, I think, with this one. And so, yeah, it was just another way to say, it's a smart idea, because we had Tomb Raider not too long before this, and it's like, oh, you think you got a cool adventure thing. Also very inspired by Indiana Jones, right? Tomb Raider. And it's like, hey, here's our thing. Let's bring this in. And it's got some ideas.
It has ideas. It does. It's got stuff in it. You know,
it still does the same thing. There's a lot of vertical climbing. They tried to squeeze in what makes Prince of Persia work. It just doesn't work as well in this way, I think. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to be slow. I don't think in 3D we appreciate the idea of controlling everything, because you get into super complex systems when you start talking about 3D and complex controls, and it's hard to jump with any degree of accuracy because of you know, perspective. There's just so many reasons that it's real hard to make judgments as a human to control these things in 3D.
Yeah, because we didn't know yet. Now we speak the language of 3D in game development now. It's not like we don't know what we're doing. But this was early. Nobody knew what they were doing. And as we've seen with previous episodes of the show, even including Tomb Raider, stuff doesn't hold up, man. It's hard. Mm-mm. Like, it just seems goofy and janky. Did you see those remasters, though? Tomb Raider remasters that are coming out? Like, maybe even this week. When is that?
I've seen a headline and an article, and I saw some stuff, but that's about it. I don't know much more than
Tomb Raider trilogy. I think remaster fixes the worst thing about the original trilogy. has a photo mode and original graphics toggle. It could be interesting. Kind of want to see it.
Yeah. They're going to have an original graphics toggle. See, I appreciate that. We'll talk about it real quick too. There was a couple of Prince of Persia that came along later that required you to complete certain parts of the game to unlock the retro part. I really hate that.
Oh, I don't want that.
That pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It pisses me off. I'm like, don't hide the thing that I probably got this.
Yeah.
Behind me having to finish your bullshit.
Completely agree. I don't like when they do that. When that happens, I go, no, wait a minute. Who paid for this? Was it me or was it you?
Right.
You know?
Was it the Pac-Man game that we played that we had there was certain things you had to unlock and really people found
you
could cheat it by logging in, logging out, or
that's why people were mad at that game. They weren't mad that you could cheat, but they were mad that this stuff was hidden behind. You had to get certain achievements in the previous games that were unlocked. I understand why you would want to have some challenge in your metagame, right?
Right.
But the whole reason I come to a Pac-Man collection is so that I can play all the old Pac-Man games. That's it.
Don't lock that behind a thing. If you want to give me some kind of cool pack skin, that's cool. I'll play for that
pack
skin.
I'll tell you what. Anyway, Prince of Persia 3D is garbage. Don't mess around. It's bad.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. But I'll tell you what is. You know what's way better than Prince of Persia 3D from 1999? There is a Doom mod for Prince of Persia.
What?
And it is. It's no verticality to it because it's Doom. Still have all these things where you've got to walk and you got to get past spikes and you got to fight people, and they used all the sound elements and the texturing, and
so it's a Doom mod that looks just like a first person version of that game.
I would play that. Yeah, I watched some video of it and it looked pretty cool. It made me want to set up and do the mod.
Doom mods are cool, man.
moddb.com. I'm on there all the time looking at cool stuff, going, man, I wish I had the time.
They love you.
Oh, did you know that the first or the second one of Prince of Persia? Anyway, on ModDB, what got me there to begin with was there is a level editor. I think two they wanted to include, and they may have included the level editor where you can make your own, but I didn't learn a lot about that. But that looked pretty cool. To kind of create your own Prince of Persia levels.
I love old.
I'd be down with that.
That stuff, yeah. When we talk about Unreal Tournament next week, we'll talk about that mod scene.
That
thing was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The only equaled by Doom, probably, in terms of modability, that game.
Yes.
Let's talk for a second about Prince of Persia Classic. It just deserves a little mention. This came out in 2007, was a phone game. I think it ended up a couple places, but phones for sure.
Yeah. I think phone and a couple of systems and maybe
iOS
Java.
Had it.
Was
this
there
is
Java?
An 07. This is early because this would have been the fall of that year, and that year was the year iPhones were invented.
Right.
So you wouldn't have had even. I don't even think the first Android phone had hit the market yet. But this
Part they had this on the Xbox Arcade for the 360 too, I believe.
Oh, did they? Okay, that makes sense that they'd have it in a few places.
Android, yeah.
Yeah. So there was an Android version. Interesting.
Yeah, Android, iPhone.
Wasn't Android 08 was the first consumer phone? Or do I have that? I may have that wrong.
Well, it wasn't until, you know, just like every Prince of Persia, it launches on one platform, and then over the next 5 or 6 years, it gets ported to everything. Mm. And that's what happened here. Looks like when it first came out, it was on the Xbox 360, then made its way to the PlayStation 3, and then in 2011 made it to the iPhone,
and
the iPad, then the Android in 2012.
Okay, that makes sense. That all sounds right. I still think this looks all right, you know?
Game Loft, you know those guys, they do stuff, yeah.
For a while, this is all Game Loft did was, you know, not remakes, but... Well, sort of remix, but, you know, stuff in other people's IPs. They now do kind of their own thing. They've got that really possible. What am I trying to say? Popular is the P word I'm looking for. They got that popular P-P. Disney Stardew Valley-like game. What's that called? Disney Starlight?
Is that Starlight? Is
Disney's Starlight Valley or Disney's
Starlight Valley? I like that idea. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Now it sounds right and wrong all at the same time.
Disney letting you farm things. I forget the name of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Good old Disney.
But this is all right. This version is okay. I remember I probably played this on Xbox now that I think about it, but I played it somewhere and thought it was a pretty good remake. And I really appreciated that it had these little squigglies that would tell you where you needed to go if you hadn't gone yet. So didn't get as lost in this version of the game.
That helps. There's no map, people. There was no map. You just you climbed up and down platforms and pray that you weren't going the right way.
Wrong way,
Willie.
But
you don't want to go that way.
No, I never spend no time with Wrong Way Willie. it's a cool version of it. I don't think you can play this anywhere now, though. I think this is done. Unless there's someone,
You're probably right. Yeah. If I had to, yeah. But you know, you can resurrect anything since it was on the 360. If you could, purchase it, throw it in your 360. Why not?
Sure.
Got your PlayStation 3 out there. Oh, they even had a 2015 Xbox One. So can you buy this in a store or something? Maybe.
Probably still can then. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Let me see. Look at this.
Look at Xbox keeping the old shit alive.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Xbox One.
Certainly, if you still own it, you can download it.
Right? That's typically how I do it. Oh, of course, there's like a million things. It's like, oh, look at the Prince of Persia new game we have. Not the one you're looking for.
Well,
okay. Oh, here we go. Buy Prince of Persia Classic. Oh, it's loading. It's thinking about it. For $2.49
with
Game Pass, you can own the classic Xbox 360 version of Prince of Persia. Game Loft. Style.
Nice. Let me tell you what GameStop.com gave the review for this game in 2007. They gave it an 8.1 or great. They said the forgiving difficulty makes the game more fun but still challenging. Updated visuals make the game feel fresh. Nice mix of combat and platforming makes constantly dying fun. The bad original game doesn't seem to be part of the package. And two, being able to rescue the princess after 60 minutes is unfulfilling.
Oh, yes. See?
All right.
We still don't like timers.
No, we don't, sir. We do not.
Timers, no timing. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Go.
I played a lot of these ports on my Mr. FPGA hardware emulation.
Yep.
And one of the ones that I got running, besides the, I got the Amiga version, the Turbo Duo, and the Sega CD versions of Prince of Persia, all unique in their own rights. My favorite though was playing the Macintosh Plus black and white version. That is gorgeous.
That probably looks really cool now that you describe it.
It really does. So, you know, there's Godzilla -1 -color, you know, is coming out
theaters
here
now,
very shortly. Is
soon.
It here now?
I think it might be soon. This weekend. Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So black and white, and man, I'll tell you, it is so sharp. And it just pops and it looks so good. And even when he's doing when he's running back and forth, some of my favorite parts of that is that rotoscoping animation. And when the character, unnamed character you're playing as, the future Prince of Persia, runs back and forth, he does almost like this dab looking turn. It reminds me of something maybe like George Michaels would have done. It's like he just throws his hand up when he goes to turn around. Mm-hmm. And the black and white version, it's the only one I saw it in. When he throws his hands up, you can actually see each finger.
Mm.
It's just something about it. It is just, it's magical.
Nice. I'm in. I'm all in on your idea. By the way, I'm trying to find the black and white classic version of this. I can't find video of it, but I loved how those games looked.
Why you do something else, I'll bring up the video I recorded of it. So, and then I'll just.
Yeah, bring that up because I want to see it. I want to see it. That's about it for this game. It's awesome and you should see it. All right.
You should see it. You should play it. You should die often. Prince of Persia.
You should. P-O-T. And I will say this, as far as rotoscope games go, my favorites were 90s games. First one I'm thinking of is the one called
Karateka.
Oh, no. No, not Karateka. It's later. It was on the Genesis. I went to the mall at 6 a.m. to get it.
Oh, it was on the Genesis of the ball, and you went to the electronics boutique.
Not Outer Worlds, out of this world. No, not that. The other one that came later. Someone in the chat's going to say it, and it's going to piss me off. Not Out of This World. What's the other one?
Outer World.
There's another one. They're doing a new one. Flashback.
Now that is a great compare. That's a good one.
Flashback.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love it, but I will not lie. That thing is derivative as hell of Prince of Persia. Like,
oh, yeah.
One screen at a time, climb, drop down, rotoscoped. It's very similar, but I love the world of it. There's a new one coming out. 2.5D kind of thing. Flashback Return. Cannot wait for that. Let's see. New game. Let me just look this up.
Nude game.
Flashback 2. Official reveal trailer. Blah, blah, blah. Took 30 years. Finally has a release date. Okay.
All right. Here. And while you're doing that, I've just posted the link and the time where it starts.
All right.
For the black and white version of that. You'll have to look at my stupid ugly mug for just a second while I'm there.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to play this. Sorry, I'm looking at this.
Oh, you're looking at that Microids. 30 years later. Okay.
Flashback 2, baby.
Flashback 2. I forgot about this game.
I forgot they were doing it, but I think it's got a release date of soon. I can tell you right now. November of last year, it said, but that didn't happen.
Huh.
Then it originally was supposed to be out in 2022, the winter of that year. Didn't come out then either. So what's up, guys?
Well, you know, we had some trouble along the ways.
I don't know.
There may have been a pandemic or two.
Well, not since 2022, or last year, last fall.
I know, but if you're working towards that in year 2000 for a couple of years, you know.
Yeah,
that's what happens. The tail end happens there.
What was the one with the little farting alien? That game. What was that called? Oddworld. The Oddworld games.
Oddworld. Those are great. Oddworld is so Prince of.
There's
Persia,
another
right?
example. Yeah, it's just like it, and they're so good. I'm very thankful the game series even exists.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah. All right, Brian, I'm going to click your link now. Let's take a look.
Link is the YouTube video. I fast forwarded to the 3 hours of Prince of Persia. I played the other night and I ran at the end, the Macintosh.
I love the look of all the old black and white Mac games.
There's something about it. Detailed.
Yeah. There's something about them, man. I don't know if it's because they get away with more because they didn't have to worry about color palettes. I don't know, but
right.
I love the look. Of that so
and you get
much.
A chance to really look at the textures it's a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah,
if you get a chance to play it in that mode, there's also the color. It's the same version that runs on later Macintoshes that did have color, but I was emulating the Macintosh Plus because it was going to be more complicated. I had to emulate the other later Macintoshes in the Amiga core. I was like, what?
I miss that look.
That sounds like work.
I miss that look.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the look. Okay, let's move on to the next thing here. We're going to do Guess My Game. It's a game we play, and here's an intro for it.
Destroy it.
We play audio from an old game. We give each other a few details, and then we have three questions each to try to figure out what somebody brought. I'm going to start with a game on PC in the year 1997. This was a big deal. It was highly
rated.
Just
a few years before we saw this Prince of Persia, so I'll have to... We'll have to think. Prince of Persia.
No, I'll be a post, right? Because this is 97.
Oh, you said 97.
Not
you said
87.
97. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Post. So it'd be, so I was going to say PPOP, but yeah, still PPOP.
PPOP. Post, pre, whatever, whichever one you want. Yeah, exactly. So this is 1997. This was on the PC. This was a big award winner. The genres, I would say grand strategy, which included a little bit of turn-based, a little bit of pausable stuff where you'd pause and then give, commands and things that would then play out, or real time aspects to it. It was a really interesting combination of those things. And it was published by Electronic Arts.
Oh, EA.
For the personal computer. All right.
Oh, for the personal computer.
Yeah, the personal one. So here is your audio. See if you can figure this out.
You must hold this position at the end of the battle.
This is your best brigade. These men have some experience. There'll be some more infantry coming up.
Buglemen.
Yeah, we got buglemen. We got all sorts of fighting. And
got little, some fighting.
Yeah, a little bit of this guy at the beginning.
The end of the battle.
End of the year is a good time to check out your men.
This sounds like some blue and gray crap. Like we're in a civil war kind of crap.
Interesting. Is that one of your questions or what?
But okay, so you said it's JRPG. No, I'm looking at the wrong screen. I was about to say, how's it a JRPG? I knew that.
It is not that. It is grand strategy. Turn-based, real-time, blah, blah, blah. I'll even say historical strategy on the PC. In 1997.
Yeah, it's got to be historical strategy. I mean, it's obviously, I mean, like I said, the only time that you would think about these bugles and that kind of stuff would be the Civil War. So, is it set during the Civil War in the United States?
I'm going to tell you, yes, it is set during the United States Civil War. Yes.
All right. Came in 1997 on the PC, Electronic Arts.
It was the end of the battle.
Right. So it's a grand strategy.
Yeah,
is the developer, were they known for making grand strategy games? Like, was this their whole deal? Usually, yes. Or was this a one-time developer?
Yes, this is someone who is known for this sort of thing.
Would they have their name in it, like as part of the title of the game?
Yes. I will say that is correct. That is all three of your questions, by the way.
Those are all three of my questions.
These men are looking forward to you telling them what to do. These men here are going to die first. Yeah.
Is this...
Chat has it.
Sid Meier's Infantry? Yeah.
Is that your answer? Sid Meier's Infantry. Just making sure I got it. Okay, that's the full title? Sweet.
Yeah, the whole title.
Let's find out.
Infantry Division.
It's definitely not. It is close, though. It is Sid Meier's Gettysburg.
Of course, Gettysburg. Dick, why couldn't I pull that out of the brain?
Yep. Never played it. Seemed too complicated to me at the time. But I remember friends loving it, and it reviewed well.
I can see the cover art.
Oh yeah, me too. Lots of Southern flag stuff.
Oh, dude, I think this was like a staple at Walmart forever, and it was one of those things where it's like, do I want to get into these kind of games? I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No,
because we grew up during a time where every week, Time Life was trying to sell us a book or a video
all the time. Yeah. All the time
on the subject of Civil War.
Yeah. No, they were all, it was big, and they gave you a little, here's your pewter collectible plate or whatever.
Right. Here's your pewter. You remember the Civil War?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. I feel like Ken Burns' documentary came out and everybody quit asking questions because that thing is so definitive. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, we have all we need now. If we need to refer to something, we've kind of got the historical record. But
let me see this cover box. Like I said, I'm almost 100% sure that I've seen this like a million times. So it was called...
Sid Meier's Gettysburg.
Sid Meier's.
Meier is M-E-I-E-R.
I know.
I don't know why he spells it that way.
So I learned it when I started playing Pirates.
Yeah, Sid Meier's Pirates. And, awesome.
I just saw it myself. No one told me how to say it. So once I got it wrong, it was just too late. It's kind of like I accidentally read Michael Crichton. I used to call him Michael Crichton or something like that.
Crichton.
I can't remember exactly what I called him. Crichton. But he's Crichton. Yes, obviously Crichton. But no one ever said it. And I was reading his books before Jurassic Park and all that stuff. And it was just something I was picking up my own. Oh, yeah, this is the cover art that I remember.
Yeah, it feels like a box you could see at a Walmart collecting dust just sitting there for a decade.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And I used totally to think, come on.
There's some rumor that there's a rumor floating around that Walmart's going to stop carrying video games. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that's not just a rumor. It's fact, right?
Why are they doing that?
They're getting it. Well, they're all at Best Buy. Stop is going to stop selling. Because they're not selling any. I mean, every time I'm in Walmart, I don't think I've ever. Because first of all, they got to maintain those cases, right?
Oh, yeah, here it is. So, I found the article on the Metro. It says, Walmart removes Starfield and other games from stores as retailers discussing end of physical game sales.
Yeah, I mean, Best Buy led this charge last year with earlier in the year with you know, getting rid of movies and that kind of stuff. And it's probably the right call.
Wow. Listen to this.
Yeah.
They said in a note, actual written memo that was leaked. Okay, this is from somebody who works at Walmart, got this in an email, took a picture of it and leaked it. Department 5, please remove and discard all Starfield Xbox video game cartridge or discs. See, on Monday, January 22nd, the Xbox Series X Starfield video game will be marked down to 3 cents to prepare for its disposal at store level. Thank you for helping in this process. Why
that one?
I don't know. Well, it's not just that one. There are others. This is just the one that got leaked, but there are definitely others.
Yeah.
I mean, my guess is because not that I think it's exactly one-to-one, but I'll bet it's close to one-to-one digital on that thing. Cause it's either Game Pass or he just bought it, you know?
Yeah. There's a couple of things. Yeah. You know, like you said, Game Pass is probably eating into that. And they're probably going, why are we even doing this? And they're probably trying to maybe strong arm a little bit. And there's a lot of truth going on with it. Plus the fact that, like I said, these are all locked behind lock and key, except for the Gettysburg thing. That's probably sitting on a shelf somewhere, but everything else is behind lock and key, and they'll never have anybody back there anyway. I mean, if I'm buying a physical copy of a game, I either order it online or I go to EB Games.
Wow.
EB Games?
Games? Yeah. Electronics Boutique.
Is that name of the company?
Right.
Yeah. Is that what they still call it?
Well, I think they're
GameStop.
Gone.
GameStop.
Oh, yeah. GameStop now. EB's gone.
We were talking about Electronics Boutique earlier.
Yeah. EB got bought along with what? Babbage's software, et cetera.
Right.
They all got eaten up by GameStop. I want to see that new movie about the investor thing. Have you seen trailers for that?
I have seen trailers for it. I have indeed. I also bought Tetris World, by the way.
Oh my lord!
For
why?
PC for
why?
Some reason?
What for?
Because it was at the store for 50 cents.
Good lord! That is about what it's worth, by the way.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what is this? It's and I found a PlayStation game too, so I had to pick that up. You know.
Yeah, because that's what you do. 2. If there was a CRT
more rare.
If there was a CRT there, it would be in your house right now. You'd be looking at it.
Nah, not necessarily.
Are you all done with your CRTs? You're done collecting those?
You don't know.
No.
It's certain sizes I'm done with. It's like, okay, I've got enough of those.
Okay.
I don't need any more of those.
Oh, let me play your file. You tell me.
Oh, You got to guess my game.
Yeah, give me some info here. What do you got?
Mine's about 9 years earlier on the NES platform. So it's the NES 1988. This is an action platformer.
All right. Who made it? Who published it?
Published by Tecmo.
Ooh, Tecmo. All right. Action platformer Tecmo. I always think of just their sports games.
We need to have a whole episode about Tecmo. We just need to. They such a unique thing with Tecmo. I like Tecmo.
Yeah, don't forget our very own community dude, Woojman, made an entire hacked ROM of that and put a bunch of our names in it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Frog Pants teams and stuff.
Make us one of these Tecmos.
That's right. All right, well, I'll play it and see what we get. Tecmo. Is it? Okay, wait, you said it was a
Tecmo
action platformer.
Action platformer.
Action platformer.
So if you're asking if it's football, no.
No, I didn't think so. I mean, what was Tecmo doing back then? All right, let me ask you this. I get my three questions. Tecmo.
Right.
Oh, Tecmo makes little ninja guy game. The little ninja guy. Little ninja, like
ninja
dude
guy.
Running around. Not kind of like Sega had their Shinobi series. This was like that sort of side scrolling, chucking stars. Oh, I think this is.
Are you asking questions?
All right, let me ask you this question. Does it feature ninjas as the main thing? The point of the thing is it's
there
about
are no hidden ninjas. They're ninjas.
There are ninjas.
Okay. But you can't see them. But they're in there. Every game has ninjas. You just can't see them. This one, actually, you can see them.
This one, you can see them. Did this go on to be a long series, or were there just a couple? Like,
It's according to what you define as a few, you know.
Well, three.
It's a well-beloved series. How about that?
Few is a three. So is it more than a three, or is it...
Was there more than three?
Well, if it's the thing I'm thinking of, there had to be, because there's modern ones.
Yeah. Was there more than three?
I don't know.
Are you asking the question?
I'm asking you. Are there more than three of this game, or of this series?
I think there's more than three.
You think there's
like
than three.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like eight. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, here's one more. I don't think Tecmo owns that, though. No, let me think for a minute. There's ninjas and there's more than three. That means it probably at least got 16-bit treatment, maybe even further out than that.
Yes, yeah, NES game. So yeah.
Okay, final question. Was this also in arcades at some point?
Yes, it was actually started the arcade.
Okay, it's not Shinobi, though. Because Shinobi wouldn't be on Nintendo.
And it wouldn't be Tecmo.
Okay, I'm going to say...
There's like a final answer on the how many Ninja Gaiden. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I said the word.
Oh, it's Ninja Gaiden.
The word.
That's the one I was going to say. That was my answer.
You're welcome. I was reading the dang thing, and I was reading, and I said the word. You're welcome.
I was leaning toward Ninja Gaiden. I was.
Dadgummit.
The one I always think of is
my own stupidity.
The original Xbox Ninja Gaiden was awesome. Oh my gosh, it was such a good game. Okay, so it is Ninja Gaiden. There you go. Ninja Gaiden, everybody. Give Scott one of these. And Brian gets one of these. Whoops, not that. But don't feel bad. You read it by accident. It's okay. It's what happens.
It just happens. It happens. Scott's left the title of the game in his audio clip before, where they actually say the name of the game in the audio clip. So, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, it's
good.
It's okay. However this stuff works out, is fine. It looks like Sean, I'm trying to see if anyone in the chat. Oh, before that, Ninja. I'll say there's Skits319 got Skits, it? Gets it. All right, Skits, you win, dude. Nicely done. Well, that was fun. Always fun. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
That's right. We're going to do a quick, we got a phone call. All right. This is a follow-up from Wooge Man, who's in our chat today. He sent this in regarding Sonic and our coverage of Sonic last week, Sonic and Knuckles. And here's what he had to say.
Hi, Brian and Scott. This is Wooge Man, a.k.a. Dennis, or Wooge Man, a.k.a. Dennis, or a.k.a. Dennis, a.k.a. Wooge Man. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Was calling and just wanted to point out what I felt like was a glaring flaw in the episode on Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles. You were talking about other Sonic games, and you failed to mention Sonic Mania, which many Sonic fans, including myself, kind of consider the quintessential Sonic game. It's kind of born out of all the ROM hack scene and kind of remixes all of the Sonic 16-bit games into one. So definitely worth checking out. Also, when are we going to get some Scott and Brian Frog Pants football action?
Yes.
With the Super Bowl coming up, seems like a perfect time. Thanks. Viva la Frog Pants.
Thanks, dude.
Luigi's absolutely right.
I agree on all points. Yeah. Can I buy that now, right? That's a game that I can go out and just pick up on Steam.
Oh, yeah. You can actually pick that up on Steam. Sonic Mania. Absolutely. You're so correct there, Wooj.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Oh, I own this? How have I not played this?
I
own this. I'm a play this.
Of course you do.
Yeah. You know what?
So good.
I am going to play this. This is also, man, this reviewed in the 90 percentiles. This is people like this shit.
So good.
And it's like graphically, it's the big throwback, right?
And it's got Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. It's got all the things.
You know what? I'm installing this later.
Good call out. Hey, anytime we miss something.
Yeah, well done.
How glaring.
But we could have some fun doing a stream where we finally figure out how to, you know, do some multiplayer with something like an old game like Tecmo Super Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
So wait. Can we can't play? I guess not. I guess we can't. We have to play as our teams, right? We have, what was our team names?
I forget.
I could do two. Okay, go back.
I don't remember shit about nothing.
I don't remember nothing. I can't remember squat.
So who published this? Sega published this? Yeah, they did. So this was a bunch of hackery that just the Sega said, "Yeah, we like what you've done."
They brought it in. Yeah.
Well, this is like the this is like the opposite of Nintendo. You know what Nintendo does?
Right.
Because Nintendo just goes, hey, you're a dick, and we're going to sue you and turn you into mush when we're done. That's what Nintendo does.
I just saw, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. I just saw Spyro down there, and that reminded me, because I was looking at mods earlier, and I had found where they had this, and I just posted in Discord, and it's a mod for Spyro, and it's the only mod that I desirous to use.
Okay. I'm in.
Take a look at that link.
Okay. Here. Oh, wait.
You see that?
I'm not in Discord. Now I am. Oh my gosh, dude. What's going on with Spyro?
There's a chonky Spyro mod that turns into a chubby little
dragon. To what end? What is the point of this here?
To the end that I want to see a fat roly-poly purple...
There's video of this, too.
Purple dragon.
Oh, look at him. He's all chubby. I have the new game. This is what the mod's for, right?
Yes.
The remasters?
Yeah. I believe it is. Yes.
Those games are great, dude.
They're so good. Yeah. So good.
I used to think there was no way those would be good because just moving a dragon around kind of seemed like it might suck. But yeah. I was wrong. Those games are awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to get he needs to be chunkier. He's not that big. Like, really?
I think he's
up.
The perfect amount of chunk.
Okay.
I think if he was any more around, he wouldn't be dragon shaped. He would be ball shaped.
Man shaped.
Man.
I can't wait to play Sonic Mania. It got me in the mood. I'm doing tonight. I really am. I'm doing well. I have core after this, and then I'm going to play that video game. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to do it. I might play some more mod the server of Unreal Tournament.
You should do that because that's also installed and ready to go. Brian's got the server all ready to go. We're going to play a bunch of that next week. And hopefully during the week, we'll get some time to play each other. We'll stream some of that shit. Oh,
it's going to be so good because I'm practicing my headshots and I can't wait to frustrate Scott with the headshot.
Yeah.
Headshot.
I think you're in trouble. I played so much of this game. You might be in trouble. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's gonna depend. It's like I know you have more experience, but is it like riding a bike? Will you be able to just pull it up and use what you had? Or if you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, all I know is I fired up a arena match with 7 bots all at maximum and I won. So I'm just saying. Get ready, dude. Get ready.
Whatever.
You're gonna be on the other end of my.
Oh, you killed a bot.
You're gonna get flack from my flack cannon right in your flack face. So watch for that.
Flack face.
Flack face.
You're gonna get a chainsaw gun to the face. The chain blade. What are those things with the blades that shoot out? You're gonna get one of those.
Those are cool. What are those called?
I don't have to know the name of them to whoop your butt with them.
Flak cannon was my favorite because I just loved the two. You know, it was basically a shotgun in normal mode, and then right click meant it would shoot these grenades. I love that. I like the rocket launcher a lot, and you could load up 3 and fire them.
I loved alternate fire. Yeah.
That game's big. You know, innovation. Was bringing alt fire to arena shooters, and it was it was amazing. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about it.
I love holding the gun sideways, even though it just sucks, but it looks cool.
That's right. So we're going to talk about it. Unreal Tournament next week. Does anyone remember the Morpheus level? Well, I do.
Yeah.
Do you remember facing worlds?
Our Matrix was getting dipped in everything.
That's right. And I used to piss people off at work and just rock these souls. You know what? You're screwed, dude. Like, we're going to play and you're going to lose. And that'll be great.
We'll see. You know what? I have nothing to lose.
No, nothing to lose. Everything to gain.
Because I can just go back and go, I was a Quake 3 guy.
Yeah. Or Brian could mod the server to put a hidden Redeemer missile launcher somewhere. And
Don't think I haven't thought about it. I'm like, what could I do? I could slow his guy down and speed mine up.
Mm. That's right. Mm. I will have Instagib. He will have Nevergib. anyway, that's next week, all around the discussion of Unreal Tournament. So get your twitchy fingers ready for that. In the meantime, I'd like to thank some patrons. Hootie42 and Mick Smith both joined us at our patreon.com/playretro website, which is important because that's how this show is paid for. Look, you can go and get the free public version, but you'll have to listen to ads. Do you not want to listen to those?
Ew.
Good news. You can avoid all that by signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. No commercials ever, pre-show content every week, and other cool benefits that are yours only if you sign up today.
Maybe some preferential treatment on the Unreal Tournament server.
If only you knew who ran it.
I know.
Brian, that's going to do it for us. I hope everyone listening goes home and they play something retro. For those who are watching live, stick around. Core will be on in about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So I got to hurry up and post this one, I guess. That is going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Chucky Spyro!
Get more at frogpants.com.
Red blood.